I want to welcome everybody that's listening to this on the internet. And my name is Pastor Ted. I'm here at Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church. And as you see, if you're looking at this on the computer, and as you see the taken homes that we have in front of you, I'm talking about all along the watchtower. And unfortunately, all along the watchtower, the watchmen are blind. Now, if we look at Isaiah 56, 10 through 11, Israel's watchmen are blind. They all lack knowledge. They are all mute dogs that cannot bark. They lie around and dream. They love to sleep. They are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way, and each seeks his own gain. That's in Isaiah 56, 10. As we can clearly see in Isaiah 56, 10 through 11, this relates to today's world with crystal clarity. The watchmen are the nation's leaders. And it is now as it is then, as it was then. Some of the leaders are blind to every danger. And thus, they're not being warning us when danger is coming. They're full of self-adoration and self-righteousness. And they sit atop of the nations and they grew vastly apathetic to the needs of the people they governed. They were then, as they are now, more concerned with satisfying their own greed. Leadership has special privileges. It can cause them to either sacrifice for the good of their people or to sacrifice their people for their own greed. Without God in a leader's heart, the people's future is doomed. Psalm 12, 1 and 2. Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor, and their flattering lips speak with deception. It seems that sincerity and truth have nearly gone out of the existence. We have one hope, and the Word of God, because the Word of God is pure. And it's truth. We need to read His Word. We need to have God tell us directly through His Word what directions we need to take. As we talked about a watchtower, it came back to my mind. I was thinking, I've been in a watchtower. And I know that in a watchtower, you have an overlook. In my experience with base defense in the Vietnam War, before when we first got to that base, before all of us were assigned, we had to pull guard duty in the watchtowers. And the watchtowers overlooked that base. And I knew at that time this was important. When I stood in that tower and I looked behind me of all the things that were behind me that I had to protect, all the people that were there, the jet craft, aircraft on the runways, the people working in the towers, the people working all over, all the soldiers. It was my job. The nurses, right, in the hospitals. It was my job to stand in that tower and to oversee that and make sure that the enemy did not come in. I took my job seriously. As our nation's leaders, their job is to stand in the watchtower. Their job is to see what danger is out there. Their job is to protect their nation that's behind them and be able to warn anybody there that something is coming, to alert the forces that will repel that enemy attack, and also to be able to lead and defend and direct where those defensive forces need to go. As I remembered, as I was writing this, when I was working on this sermon, I remember the simple things that we were responsible for, just as a simple guard, a simple Air Force security police guy standing up in a tower. We still had just a simple thing that we needed to follow, some simple guidelines and directions. And I started thinking about, my gosh, it would be great if our leaders could follow some of these simple directions. Here's some of them all. First of all, what is my area of responsibility? I'm up in that tower. What is my area of responsibility? Our leaders are up there. Maybe they should think, what am I responsible for? Am I just responsible for myself and my little family here? Am I responsible that I can increase my bank account? Am I responsible just so I can have adulation from everybody in the world? No, that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to the people. Your responsibility is to protect. First of all, to protect the people that are there. Second of all, as I stood up in that tower, I had to realize and understand, what is the threat? I need information. Before we would go up in that tower, we would have what they call a guard mount. This is where the intel people would sit and tell us before we went out on that mission or before we were deployed what the threat level was, what the threat they thought was coming, what the indications that there might be somebody out there that wants to attack the base tonight. As leaders, they need to listen. They need to take the responsibility to listen to what the information is, so they can determine what responses they'll need to do. How to respond is the third thing that I had on my list. Well, I'm up here in this tower. What am I supposed to do? Stand there and just wave my hands and go, no, don't you guys come in here. You're bad. You can't come in here. Blow a whistle. They're here. What's my responsibility? What am I supposed to do? To turn the spotlight on and just shine it on them? My responsibility, first of all, was to call in an alert. The first thing I did was to pick up the radio and says, I have somebody coming through the wire. I don't take it on myself. I'm John Wayne. I can just shoot them all. I'll take care of all of them. No. My responsibility, first of all, is to alert everybody that trouble is here. Sound the alarm and prepare for action. Are our leaders doing that now? Are they standing there? Are they seeing what's coming? Are they sitting on the job, not looking out at the tower? Are they sleeping on the job? Yeah. Also, the fourth thing I asked is, what do we defend and what weapons are we going to use? Must I know how to use that weapon? Sure. I'm just up there in that tower. I better know how to use it. And also, I better have checked it out and make sure it's operational. Shouldn't our leaders make sure that our defense, our military is ready, that their communications are ready, and that the men and women that are defending this country have everything they need to do it, plus the backing of the leadership? You see, the overview from the top, leaders need to see and understand the view they have has far-reaching consequences. It's not to be taken lightly. They need to understand it's not good enough for subordinates to know what's going on. They're not the ones that are responsible for the leader's decisions. The leader alone is solely responsible for that directive. The leaders need help. They cannot do it on their own, because they can receive information, false information, and untrue information, and deceiving information, and not be able to decipher what is good, what is true, what is false. Can the devil and the great deceiver deceive the leaders without the proper information, without the proper guidance? And the only way they're able to see the most important thing, and that is the truth, there's only one way, and that is have the truth inside you. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, for it is by the grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast, but we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do God's work, which God prepares in advance for us to do. God prepares us. Jesus prepares us inside to know what the truth is and what he wants us to do and what the right direction that the leader must take. We must be created in Christ. If we try to do this on our own, it won't work. By accepting Christ in us, we will be renewed, rebuilt, fortified, forgiven, and saved, so we can do the work that the Lord has prepared for us to do. A leader not in Christ is under whose direction? If it's his own, he's wrong. The decisions that they make will have disastrous effect. Even in the watchtower, you don't have the highest view. Even in that tall tower we're overlooking, we think we have the highest view. Isaiah 55:9 declares the Lord, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Today's leaders of nations need to seek out the truth and can only receive it by being true to God and listening to the word of God. In Isaiah 55:10-11, it says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without waters, the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. I will not return it to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." If we listen to the Lord and we ask the Lord, please surrender yourself, leaders. Ask the Lord, "What do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do? What direction are we to go?" Only through the identity of having Christ inside of us will we be able to receive that message, understand that message, and act on that message. Our true identity is Jesus Christ. He's made us new. And without that, we are still that broken person that can be easily deceived and easily strayed away. In Romans 3:24, we learn that we are justified, declared not guilty of sin. In Romans 8:1, we understand there's no condemnation awaits us. In Romans 8:2, we are sanctified, made holy, and made acceptable to Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:2, we are sanctified, made holy in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, we will be made alive at the resurrection. In 2 Corinthians 15:21, we are new creations. That's so important. We've got to be a new creation in Christ. Our leaders have to stay and understand that they have to be new on the inside. If they haven't accepted Christ, if they don't know that, they don't know the truth. It says, "Therefore, if anyone in Christ, he is new, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciles us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who has no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians. As Jesus' ambassadors, we need to inform the leaders. They need to go with the way of the Lord, not theirs. They need to also pray. As believers, we are Christ's ambassadors, sent with his message of reconciliation to the world. An ambassador of reconciliation has an important responsibility. We are now commissioned to do the work of the Lord. We do not take this commission lightly. Our leadership is under siege. And our leadership is under siege by dark powers. The only hope is the salvation of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1:11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. His will. His will, not ours. His guidance. His leadership, not ours. Not a committee leadership of 5 or 6 people, no. But one singular leadership, one commander in chief above all, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the commander, he is the king of all kings. And when he comes back, he will rule this world, and he will be the judge of all of those that stepped away from him and tried to do it through their own personal narcissism, that they were better and they were greater. They're not. He is. He is. Lord, we need to pray for this country. We need to pray for the world. We need to have a group, and we've already had the group of our young ones that went there already, that went up and prayed on the streets of Washington, D.C. And through their efforts, it should lead the rest of us, the leadership of the churches, the pastors of the churches, we should get together and we should go up there and we should surround that Congress, we should surround that White House with prayer. And you don't think that's not going to work? I'm going to tell you what. I'm willing to tell you that you watch and see the Lord move. If our youth can go up there and come up with the wherewithal to come up there, I believe that pastors in this country can get together and do this. There's enough of us out there. I'm calling for that today. I'm calling for us to organize. I'm calling for us to reach out to all the other pastors, and by one way or another, if we all take a glory train up there, let's take a glory train up there, and let's bring the glory of the Lord back where it's supposed to be. Can you stand with me on that, Pastor Mark? Can you see the need in that, Pastor Linda?
Yeah, there's a need for it.
Can you see that, Shirley? Can you see that, Carolyn? Carlos?
I want that.
Drew, can you see that? Lisa? It has to be done. The only way it's going to change, if we make it change through the Lord, if we petition the Lord, if we get on our knees as pastors and we pray, God, help us. Help our country. Change the hearts that are there. Let us pray. Lord, today I just thank you for the opportunity to share, the opportunity for you to use me, for your will. And Lord, I pray that this word goes out and a stirring goes out, that we can, through you, change. Change ourselves. We know, Lord, that you have changed us. Those of us that are blessed to be in your family, the blessed to be your children, we know that you have changed us inside. For those of you out there that may be listening that have not been changed, you can be. You need to open your heart, open your eyes, and ask the Lord to come in. Ask the Lord to be your Savior. Ask the Lord to wipe away all your past transgressions, all your past sins, and to let Him rebuild inside you the glory that is His. We need to rebuild and renew our entire nation. We need to rebuild and renew and bless God so He once again can God bless America. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.